thanks for connecting with our online content at Holy Trinity Church in Richmond. We really hope that what we share with you will be a blessing and will help you to continue to grow in your knowledge and love of God.
Our readings continue in Jonah, chapter 1, verse 17. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me forever. But you, Lord, my God, brought my life up from the pit. When life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord.' And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Holy Trinity. For those who don't know me, my name is Eric. There's two Erics here, so you can refer to me as Eric the Younger. Sorry, Eric. Right. Today, as Ollie mentioned, we're continuing our series through the book of Jonah. And this week, we're looking at Jonah's prayer from the belly of the fish and how we see how God's heart is still beating for Jonah despite Jonah's rebellion against him. We'll follow him into the depths of despair and see where he ends up. Before we begin, let me pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you for what we can learn from it and how we can apply it to our lives. Pray this morning as I open your word that I will be faithful to it. In Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin, some context. If you're here, there's lots of new people here today. Welcome. It's good to see you. You'll remember from last week, we see that God called Jonah for a mission. Go to Nineveh and preach against it. And we see how Jonah responds to this by running away, by going the complete opposite direction from Nineveh, an attempt to avoid this charge. He doesn't want to go because the people of Nineveh were vicious enemies of Israel, and he wanted God to destroy them. But for his troubles, he ends up in the sea and swallowed by a great fish. Zane pointed out last week that you can trace the descent of Noah. He went down to Joppa. He went down to the ship. He went down below deck, and finally down into the water, where he gets swallowed by the fish. In appointing a great fish to swallow Jonah, God has put him in time out. When we were kids, our parents would send us to our room. God has put Jonah in a fish instead. And while we may have been able to sneak out of our room, you know, down the hallway, out the window, whatever, Jonah's not going anywhere. He's stuck. So he has lots of time to think and reflect. He has this time because God is patient with him and enables him to survive in that hostile environment. He's given time to reflect on the two groups of people he's put in danger: the ungodly sailors who held the Lord in higher respect than he did, and the people of Nineveh who God has a caring heart for. So at the end of 3 days, Jonah calls out to God. "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the deep in the realm of the dead, I called from help, and you listened to my cry." Jonah sees he has no hope from where he is, so he calls out to God to be saved from this distress and despair. Now, I can kind of relate to Jonah in this place of despair and hopelessness. Some of you will know, I sailed here from the USA on a boat that my dad built through Central South America, across the South Pacific. In one of those passages, when I was 12, I was on the boat, not a Christian at the time, doing an overnight passage between two islands, lying in bed at night thinking, what happens when you die? What comes after that? And being terrified at the unknown and empty oblivion that seemed to be there. Not being a Christian at the time, I had no one to call out to. But Jonah knows God, and he knows that God indeed hears our cries for help. He's desperate for God's salvation from his current situation, so he cries out, even in this dark place, knowing God hears. "You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me." He acknowledges God's sovereignty in the situation. He's not here by chance. "You hurled me." He doesn't blame the soldiers. Jonah's actions led to the storm, which was sent by God, which caused him to be thrown into the sea, and that was done at his own request. Jonah acknowledges God's sovereignty in the event. This wasn't a storm of wrath, but the action of a loving God pursuing Jonah, wanting to soften his heart. He also recalls the terror of being in the very heart of the seas, where the currents swirled around me, all your waves and breakers swept over me. And again, I can relate to Jonah here with my sailing background. I had a near-drowning experience when I was about 8 years old. I was over at Big Geiger Cove on Catalina Island off the coast of California, likely for the annual luau that we did. I was between the boats and the shore, playing on a pool mat, one of those inflatable pool lounger-type things, you know, the ones that say, "These are not to be used as a flotation device." Well, I didn't have a life jacket on, good water safety there, and I fell off. If I'd been my brother, I would have been fine. He's a water baby. I, however, was skinny, like really skinny. I had little fat on me and couldn't swim well, but I could sink well, and I began to. Desperately, I flailed about, trying to grab the line that was attached to the lounger to pull myself to safety. If you've ever experienced something like that, you know the situation that Jonah was in and the terror of helplessness of sinking beneath the ocean. Thankfully, and obviously as I'm standing here, instead of drowning, I was rescued by some people, not a fish. But I can relate to Jonah's terror that he's experiencing here. Jonah goes on. "I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waves threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed has wrapped around my head." As Ollie mentioned earlier, Jonah wanted to run away from God. But can we escape him? No. It's impossible, something the psalmist says. Psalm 139. "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." You've likely heard the saying, wherever you go, there you are. The Christian version is, wherever you go, God is there. And yet, now that Jonah feels like he's in that place where God isn't, he's not happy. He's in the deepest depths of despair, and there's nothing for him. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. If this were a film, we'd see a shot from above, Jonah spiraling down into the darkness as the sound fades out and the screen dims to black. And that's where Jonah's story ends, and we'll close in prayer. No, wait. But you, my Lord God, brought me up from the pit. Hallelujah. God's heart is still for Jonah. Despite the rebellious and hard heart, despite being in the belly of the fish, God has heard Jonah's cry and looks after him. This is because God is the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Amen. Jonah is alive because of God's heart, which still beats for Jonah. So we began with Jonah's descent. At this point in Jonah's prayer, he begins to ascend again. And he starts with this repent. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord. And my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Jonah has been saved. Saved for the purpose which was set before him. To preach against the evil ways of those who don't deserve it, but as we'll see in chapter 4, are still cared about by a God whose heart is for the godly and the ungodly. And Jonah has understood the intent of this. The Ninevites need him to go tell them of God. They are those who cling to worthless idols, turn away from God's love for them. They don't know who God is, so they can turn away from their idols to turn towards God. Their idols are their salvation and their strength. As we heard last week, they leave destruction and despair in their wake. Why should they fear anyone? And is the world today any different? We see idolatry all around us. The world's idols are plentiful. Some we've been so conditioned to, we don't even see them anymore. Pleasure, desire, comfort, and self-identity, to name a few. And how resistant are we to these idols? How often have you seen something? A car, an e-bike, a new house, that outfit. You wanted it. You put your time, money, effort towards getting it. But idols don't save or satisfy. Once you obtain that thing, how quickly did you turn away from it and move on to the next thing? I've done this many times. I hate to think of how much money I've wasted, which could have gone towards building the kingdom of God and storing up treasures in heaven instead. How often have you put your trust in something other than God? I do this with money. Nothing stresses me more than not having enough money. I sometimes try to justify it. Oh, I'm just providing for my family. No one would say that's bad, would they? Some people have lucky charms that they put their faith in. Isaiah speaks against the foolishness of putting your faith in an inanimate object. Half the wood he burns over the fire. Over it he prepares his meal, roasts his meat, eats his fill. He also warms himself by it and says, ah, I am warm, I see the fire. From the rest, he makes an idol, a god. He bows down to it and worships. He prays to it and says, save me. You are my God. They know nothing. They understand nothing. Their eyes are plastered over, so they cannot see. Their minds are closed, so they cannot understand. But Jonah knows better. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My hope comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. The ultimate salvation, the ultimate source of our salvation, is through Jesus and the sacrifice that he made for us on the cross on our behalf. Those who don't believe are like the Ninevites, trusting in their own ability to save themselves through the idols of their lives. It needs someone being a messenger to tell them of this loving and compassionate God. The story of Jonah is a dim view of what Jesus would ultimately achieve. Jesus was obedient to God's will, and for the joy before him, endured the cross. So what's our takeaway from this week? Well, if you get nothing else, I would ask that you get these two things. Wherever you go, God is there. Whatever situation you find yourself in, God is there. And the other one, the world around us is like Nineveh. It needs God's message. It needs that message brought to it. Who are the Ninevites in your life? Who God is sending you to? Our decisions need to be Jonah's decisions, to call on God in the struggles and show forth God's heart to the world around us. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the example of Jonah, that we can come to you wherever we are, whatever we're going through, but also the example of those around us who need us to go to them, to tell them of you, so that they can know you as well. Help us to be good stewards of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you'd like to connect with more of our online content at Holy Trinity in Richmond, you can do that by going to our YouTube page simply by searching for Richmond Anglican Aotearoa. You can also touch base with us online at our website or on Facebook by searching with those same words. Friends, we're so thankful that you've joined us online and that you're enjoying our content. We really do hope and pray that God is blessing you through it. If you've got any feedback, you can touch base with me, Zane@richmondparish.nz. Thanks so much for listening.